Hello! Oh my goodness, I am so excited. As usual, you are on the Superwomen Camp podcast. And as you know,
Yes.
yes, and I'm so excited because I've got an amazing guest that has come along. Before I tell you more about our amazing guest, I just want to do one thing. I want to remind you, what is the Superwomen Camp podcast? And in the Superwoman Can podcast, it is for successful professional women of color and allies to show up in their full power and authentically able to lead. We know the sad fact is that most women are underrepresented in leadership and boardrooms. Women of color, especially, are spinning lots of plates from raising families to climbing the career ladder and hitting not just glass ceiling, but the concrete ceiling. But there's just one thing that sets them apart. They are superwomen, and Superwomen Can shows up in their full power and authentically leads. Sharing in this podcast, you'll hear us sharing unique, compelling stories, powerful stories. This one's a powerful one that you're about to hear right now. So keep listening, and also hints and tips on how you yourself show up in your unique, authentic self and really scale or climb your career ladder to success. Now, what are you waiting for? Come on in and listen to my latest episode. Now, hello. I wanted to start by saying that we have got an international, we're based in the UK. This podcast is a UK based, but we have somebody who's come from international realms. Tell me your name and tell me where you are from.
So my name is Latonia Munro Naylor, and I am from Springfield, Massachusetts, in the United States. And I am so happy to be here with you.
Fantastic. I am actually excited because we've not had anyone from we had some people from podcasts from America, but not from where you are from. And you've got a beautiful, absolutely beautiful name, really stunning name. Now,
Thank you.
it's gorgeous. We definitely need to make sure we put that down and how to spell that. I can't see it showing up at the moment on the screen, but it will show up on the podcast. Now, tell me, introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about you.
Well, I often say I'm a woman of many hats. And the phenomenal thing about that is as women, we have to wear hats in order to be able to get the job done. And if we're going to be successful, we absolutely better grab a hat here and there along the way. However, my most prized accomplishment is the fact that I'm a mother of four. I have four beautiful children, and they are all teenagers now. One of them is in college, and I've been married to my husband for the last 22 years. And it's that to me has been the thing that has driven me to do the things that I have done. As I said, I'm from Springfield, Mass. I am a military baby, so my dad traveled a lot when we were kids. I lived in Germany before. We lived in different parts of the States. And I do believe that has really led me to be the person that I am, just having that diverse and that empathetic personality, being able to relate to so many different cultures and people, and really seeing things from the full helicopter's perspective, which has allowed me to do a lot of the things that I've done. As you mentioned, I've been through a lot of things, and we'll talk about those things, but it has led me to be able to, how do I say, kind of take the moments of challenges that I've endured and being able to put them into one space, which is my book that I recently published in December, Mission Rich and Profit Powered. So there's a lot to say, and I don't want to jump ahead, and I'll just leave it at that.
No, that's so. I heard you got a book. So, what was the book? I just didn't catch the title of your book. What is the book? It is called Mission Rich, Profit Powered. Rich
Yes.
and Profit Powered. I am definitely going to grab that book. We'll put the link down below for anyone who wants to grab that book. That is a powerful name in itself. Where
Thank
can we get
you.
that book from?
So folks can get the book from Amazon. We have an ebook version as well. And they can also go to my website, munronaylor.com, where you could also purchase and get a signed copy from me.
Oh, I want a signed copy. Can I get a signed copy?
Yes, you can. As a matter of
Oh,
fact, I got a whole box behind me. So yes, we're having our first in-person book sign-in next weekend, and already we've sold a lot of books and a lot of people have been waiting for this information. And so it ties so neatly into the work that I've done and the challenges that I've endured, and kind of puts it together in a way to help folks not only learn about how to endure challenges, but also how do you take those things and create the passion that allows you to start a business, whether it's for profit or nonprofit.
Amazing. I think those who are business owners or embarking on their business journey will all definitely need something like that to that this book to help us. Now, I'm interested in your story. So help us to understand, share with us what sets you apart. So tell us a little bit about your story, because we're all intrigued waiting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's so many aspects of the journey. I would say that the most pivotal moment for me, though, has been the fact that I went through a very difficult childhood. And because of the childhood that I went through, I found myself in music and arts because that was what allowed me to be able to express myself, allowed me to be able to channel the anger and the stress and the frustration that I had. And on one night when I was leaving a studio, headed home with one of my friends. Sorry, I get a little emotional when I think about it. But I was headed home with one of my friends, and some guys came out of it was like a dark shadow of a building, and they went to jump on him and they started fighting him and they pulled the gun out on him and they went to shoot him. And somehow when they went to shoot him, the bullet went off and it hit me. And so I was hit in the chest. The bullet came in my right side. And I remember laying on the ground. I was 16 years old at the time. And I'm looking up into the air and I'm like waiting for a light because I'm thinking this is it. And I'm just like, Lord, I'm not fit to live. I'm not fit to die. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And I grew up in church. So I knew that I had to talk to God and put something before him and hope that he would hear me. And when I ended up at the hospital in the ambulance, I was in and out because I was sedated and stuff like that. And I remember seeing my grandmother standing there with her black suit on. And my grandmother was a preacher at the time and a pastor. And she was there. And I'm like, why is she here? Back then, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't use them like we do now. Everybody didn't have a cell phone. Nobody called her. So how did she end up there? And
Wow.
so eventually she came into my room hours and hours later after they did whatever they did to me to make sure I was stable. And she said the Lord had her praying for me.
Wow.
And she said that whole noonday prayer that day, from the time she started to the time she ended, she was calling out my name, asking God to protect me and send his angels. And then the Lord told her to come to the hospital. She went to the hospital and she saw me and she knew why. And so that was the most pivotal moment of my life. And the reason why, not just because it was such a come to Jesus moment, literally, but because it was like my heart softened in a way that it had never softened. And instead of me getting angry with the guys that shot me, I asked the question, Lord, why would they do this? And from that standpoint, I always try to figure out like, how do I get engaged with youth development, all of that. And so that's what led me on my journey to start nonprofits, to be passion driven, mission rich, focused, and trying to build nonprofit organizations and ministries. And that's where it kind of led me to the book because for 18 years, I did the work. I did the work trying to help kids and trying to figure out how do we help our kids, how do we raise money to support them. And I was able to help an organization go from a $500 budget to a $500,000 budget in less than 5 years. And I
Wow.
teach that story through my book.
Wow. So you said that you help children now. So that story, that is just, that must have been so scary for you to experience that at only 16 years old, a child pretty much yourself. What was the emotions that you were feeling with? I know it was a come to Jesus moment, but what emotions did you feel and how did you kind of push through them and start to say, this is it, I'm going to do make change in the world.
Well, I mentioned I was a very angry person and I did some things I'm not proud of. When you're angry, you lash out, you fight, you're just, And so for some people that knew me, I was an honor roll student and I was this great girl. And for other people that knew me, they didn't want to be bothered with me because they were afraid of what I might do. And it was that pressure and that stress of living in an environment where there's bullets going through your houses and drug dealing and prostitution and just everybody's on drugs in the neighborhood. It feels very hopeless. And I don't know how, but and except for the grace of God, I just have to say that the guys in the neighborhood never bothered me. It was almost like they just looked at me like I was this other girl who whatever. I never knew what it was that they were thinking, but they never would try to talk to me or anything like that. It was just people would let me go to school and do what I did, and I would come home, study, and just be angry. And when that happened, it was like I can't walk around with this anger. Like there's a reason why I'm where I am. There's a reason why my life was spared. What is that reason? What can I do with this? How do I take this pain, this hurt, this fear? Because when you get shot, when you're attacked, you're walking in fear and trauma. How do I take that and change that trajectory of the destiny that is supposed to take you? Those emotions are supposed to take you to a very dark place. How do I deal with that? And it wasn't easy. It wasn't overnight. But I found my strength in helping other people. It was like when I helped somebody else smile or helped somebody else make it or tutored somebody, or it was this joy that would come on the inside in peace. And I knew it could be better because I watched it be better for them. And it was years. It took me years to finally be able to cope with the depression and all of it came from, living in that environment and dealing with that kind of tragic incident happening to me. But it was just this constant reminder that if I can help other people get better, somebody can help me get better. And people did. People looked out for me. They were my mentors. They were the giants whose shoulders I stood on. And they saw something in me that I didn't see. And they literally, like one of my mentors, literally, I went to her for an internship and she was like, yeah, no, I'm going to have you shadow me. And I'm like, okay. And so I'm shadowing her. She's the president of the local United Way. And she goes, you know why I have you shadowing me? And I'm like, no. And she said, because you're going to be doing this one day. You're going to be doing this one day. I don't want you filing and doing all that. This is what you're going to be doing. And I want you to experience what it's like to be a CEO because you're a boss. And I was like, could barely put a good sentence together back then or write a good paper, but she saw something in me. And those kinds of people were just around me all the time. And so I knew within myself, if God put people in my life to help me move forward, I have to continue being that. So when those moments of darkness would hit, the depression would come, captivate me, I would remember somebody needs me. I can't allow this to take me over because somebody needs me to be strong for them. And so that's what I've continued to tell myself that even now, because you never stop fighting depression. Anybody who's ever had to deal with depression or trauma, and you never get to a place where it never comes to attack you. It always comes. It may not be today and tomorrow. It may come 6 months. It may come a year later. But there's these seasons when it comes to try to recaptivate you, and you have to fight through it. And by reminding myself of why I do what I do, it's allowed me to continue to push those dark seasons away so that they don't linger as much, and I can continue to do the good work that I do.
That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. For me,
Thank you.
quite inspiring. But what's also interesting is the similarities in some of the stories, the story you shared. I mean, I've never been shot, but I've had, a gun held to my, my then boyfriend's head, now husband's head, while we were in the car, just sat outside my front door. I've lived in a very, very gun violence area in the UK. It's called Moss Side. It's very well known for that. It's poverty, etc. So I can understand, and I've also gone through depression, and it is something that can keep haunting you. It's kind of a cycle you have to, and I'm going to mention on here, have to seek counsel, and I'm sure that that's what you've done. And on that note, can you share, how have you, I know that you, some of that fight comes, what have you done to help yourself to be resilient, to overcome depression?
Well, as I mentioned, it's been a wonderful experience for me to be able to help other people. And I found some strength in that. Therapeutic services are always important. And I always tell people, I'm a woman of God. I believe that prayer works, it's worked in my life. And people can think and say how they feel about their own experiences. But for me, it has helped me through the very darkest of times in my life. And so having a church family, Having a faith connection with my God has been strength to me. Having a strong circle around me is something I talk about a lot in the book, like creating a circle, circles, levels of circles, not just one, but levels of circles around yourself to really help to keep you insulated, but also holding you accountable, challenging you, being honest with you, and loving you through the big and small things, through the hard times, through the good times. You need that's reciprocated. So I have my circle, but I make sure I'm always giving back to my circle. And there's something that we develop in my nonprofit where we talk about, how you create pathways to healing for mental health and wellness. And it's not only about going to see a counselor. It's about identifying what ways can you use the arts to really find solace, to comfort you. And a lot of people, it's creative writing, it's painting, it's drawing, it's music. For me, I've used some of those different things to really help me when I'm in those moments. Like writing is a big thing for me. I love to do creative writing. I love to read. I love to music, and I used to rap.
Yeah,
So
but
it was like, those are the things that allowed me to be able to stay focused and channel the all of these things that's happening. I don't know how to explain it, but when I write down a rap or a poem, it allows me to articulate it. And everybody won't understand it, but the people that need to understand it will get it, And that's, you have to know that there's not just one way or one vice that you can use to really help you through these different challenges, because the reality is the seasons change. When my Nana passed away a few years ago, she was Nana, my Nana was like my mom. My mother is more like my sister, and my Nana is more like my mom. And it was like when my Nana passed, it was the hardest thing I ever went through, like, post the gun violence. And I still go through seasons, right? And so some of the things that I used before that for other things, I couldn't necessarily use for when my Nana passed. It took a different level of strength, a different level of support from my husband and my children and things like that. So always look for strategies to cope and strategies to use as your pathway to heal, and document what those things are so that whenever you're in those moments again, because they will come, then you're able to revisit and say, how did I get through this last thing? Oh, this is how I did it. Let me try that again and see if that works. Because we don't, as superwomen, we don't have the luxury of giving up. We don't have the luxury of taking a cape off and say, I give up, I quit. You can't, because there's just too many people that are looking for strength, and they literally see you as strength. They don't have any idea what you're going through, and they don't need to know everything you're going through, because you're the strength point in their life. You're the one that they look to say, hey, I can do this. And those aren't the people that are going to be part of your strong circle, because they can't bear what you're dealing with, right? And so that's why your strong circles are so important, because you can't share everything with everybody. Everybody can't understand or take the weight of what you deal with or see you. I don't want to say with your mask off, because I don't believe you should wear a mask, but in see you with your makeup off, because wear your makeup is not a mask. It shouldn't be. But it's more like, here's me all,
Enhancer.
perfect. It's supposed to help enhance. But then when you take it off, you're still you. So don't, I'm not saying put on a mask. Don't put a mask on. Be who you are. And you're always enhancing who you are when you're around people, especially those that you need to strengthen. And so, as you can see, I take the scenic route when I give a response.
Oh no, this is what we want because, and again, you mentioned two things. One is depression. And one is grief. And it's like I said, when you're speaking, it parallels a lot of the things I've been through. So I too lost my grandmother as well. And the grief, it was quite, in fact, I now I've lost two during COVID. Like the grief is quite profound and it's different. Grief and depression feel very they're similar, but they're different because one feels like you've lost something within yourself and something, and the grief is that you've lost someone which was outside of yourself, but felt very much a part of yourself. So it's different and it's tough and it's hard and you continue to miss that person every day. And you mentioned some really great things. One is that you do need to seek counsel, look for the arts. Like I love drawing. I don't get to do it as often as I'd like. Do look to the arts. What is your favorite thing that you like to do? I mean, you said reading, you like expressive arts, I mean, creative writing. What else do you do?
I will dance. It really depends on, like, right now I have a trampoline in my living room.
Trampoline.
Everybody's using this little mini trampoline. When I say I get creative, I am a very high energy person because I have a lot of hats. I'm on a school board, I'm a business owner, CEO for a nonprofit, my husband's a pastor, and then I have my four babies, and those are just the hats I'm thinking about off the top of my head. Never mind the boards I sit on. So when you are very involved and engaged, you always want to be at your best when you're out, right? And so for me, I'm like, whatever it takes. So my husband's like, what? You got a trampoline now? Yep, I got a trampoline. I'm just bouncing on this thing because it's making me feel good right now. I feel my body moving, because I don't have the time to go to the gym this month. But guess what? We're doing something physical, in the cold and in the snowstorms. We got to stay in the house. Oh, we're doing something around here. So I got bored with the treadmill. Now I got to do a trampoline, And so you just stay creative. Or another thing I do is I like Marvel movies. So I will binge watch Marvel movies when I'm just like, look, I need to decompress. I am an introvert. People don't believe that because I've trained myself to be an extrovert, but I am an introvert. So when I get done with all the lights, camera, action, I'm at home like, okay, nobody called me, nobody talked
Yeah,
to
just
me.
let me just
Yeah.
get energized.
Yes. So I'll put on a good Marvel show or some kind of comedy or whatever, and I'll sit there and my husband's like, are you ever coming to bed? Nope. I gotta decompress. So it's so many different ways to do it. It just depends on how I feel that month and what's going on. But I will find something to do to decompress and just to keep my mind focused.
That's amazing. And as a fellow, so again, every time you talk, I literally like this is just so parallel. Like as a woman of color who is also a mother of a big family, I have six children. I had 5 in 5 years and 6 in 7, so I completely understand. And I also love Marvel films. I think we should just, get together. No one ever believes that I say I'm a natural introvert, that I need to re-energize myself away from everybody and people. Children included, even though I've got six. So, how do you re-energize yourself? Because you're an introvert, because you have to. I know you said and movement's important for anxiety, isn't it? You're bouncing around, but how do you get that energy back? Recharge your batteries away from that drains you.
So outside of the things like just chilling out and getting away from people, we bought this house and we've been it's just like get away, right? I actually schedule in time into my calendar to take a break now. And I used to not do that. It's something I don't want to spoil too much off the book, but something you'll see in the book. I went through something and I was just like, you know what? I need to make myself like discipline myself because when you're a passionate person, you're always trying to help people give and you'll just do stuff beyond your own ability until you're just exhausted, wore out, and mentally just like, forget it, I'm done. And I did that a couple times. Too many. And I was just like, you know what? Let me put it on my schedule. 3 or 4 times a year, I take long weekends on purpose. At least twice a year, I take a couple weeks off. I actually scheduled in 2 weeks into our work year from my organization so that outside of vacation time, the first week of January and the first week of July is closed. We are closed. And I call that rejuvenation week on purpose. And I'm like, look, y'all, this has nothing to do with your vacation time. We need to take a break. We're in human services. We're always giving to people. You have to schedule in time to take care of yourself. And so when we bought this house, one of the things I wanted in a house was a pool. I told my husband, I want a pool. In the summer, I want to be able to chill. And so when we got this house, and that story is another story for another day. Maybe you invite me back to talk
Yeah,
about that.
absolutely.
But pretty much, I will chill out in the summer by myself. I make sure somebody's in the house because they always say don't swim by yourself. So, I try to follow the rules. So somebody's usually home when I get out there, or I'll just sit by the pool and I won't get in and just, chill out. Me and my puppy, we're out there just having a ball in the summer. You just have to give yourself these moments of safety and intentional rejuvenation. I call it a part of my schedule for work. Because if I don't schedule in time to focus on me, I'm no good to anybody else. And a lot of times, again, as superwomen, we're like, we got to do, we got to do. And I'm just like, yeah, you know what? God's the only one that can be everywhere at once. I can't do that anymore. And I have just come to the revelation that I can do what I can do. I will be effective in what I do. I will do it with excellence, and I will do it according to my schedule, because if I don't, I am no good to anybody else. And so that is how I do it. I stay the course, and it's not easy. It's very challenging, but I stay the course.
Absolutely love that. I love that you've just given yourself so much space. And I have to absolutely agree. What I find is that you can get into really bad habits of not giving yourself a break. So, interestingly, as a coach myself, I coach women of color in their careers and in their business. One thing that I always advocate is making sure that you give yourself rest. In fact, the most successful time of my career, where I got promoted and I got accolades and I was just really successful, was when I actually worked the 9 to 5 that I was scheduled to work, took my scheduled non-paid hour lunch, where before that I never, and it was the most successful year because I was effective. When I came in, I gave 100, like 100, and I would go and I would be excellent. But I would make sure that I didn't even take my phone when I went on my break. I said my work phone, it'll be my personal phone. And only if the building was burning down. And I'm sure I'll be outside walking anyway. So I agree with taking breaks. What happened to me, funnily enough, is that it started to sneak in on me being setting up my business. I did not put a schedule in my breaks. So what was happening is I was back in with all these calls, coaching sessions, which are quite draining, as you know, of if you're an introvert, very draining, and didn't schedule breaks because I was like, just do as many as I can before I have to pick up the kids. But then you have to change your hat again. And it was just exhausting. So it's only now I'm like, no, I can't run like that and coach like that and tell people to do that if I'm not doing it myself. So I had to advocate what you said, which is give myself a break and actually go back to walking again, which is what I personally love for my reflection time and re-energize myself, especially after coaching. So with being a mother, because you said you've got 4 children, what are their ages?
So the youngest is 14, then the next one is about to be 16, then the
Teenage.
next one is 17, and then a 19-year-old.
Oh,
Yes.
are they girls, boys?
Teenage frenzy. Three girls and a boy. And
Woohoo!
that's all I can say. If anybody out there has teenagers, you already know. You just say, I have teenagers, and you smile, but everybody knows there's a whole lot happening in this head.
Exactly. So I'm going to have to ask you, could you give me some advice and tips for women of color who are trying to build success while being a mother, in your case of teenagers? What advice?
Oh
If
my
you could
gosh.
give us, if you could give 3 to 5, that'd be amazing that they can
I
take.
can. Listen, I can. And I can also tell you that there's a whole chapter in my book that's dedicated to work-life balance and the importance of it. You cannot be successful as a business owner, as a CEO. You can say you are because of your bottom line and whatever you're making annually. But the reality is, if your children are lacking and your husband or your wife or whoever, your partner is lacking, then guess what? You are not being successful. Like, I had to really come to terms with that in my career. Like, there was one point in my career where it was all about the kids. And then it went to me trying to build my career. And then it was almost like they started falling off. And I'm like, how in the world do I do this effectively? Because I am not leaving my babies behind. My babies are just, they're more valuable to me. They're the reason why I do what I do. And so it took a lot of prayer and it took a lot of coaching. You know, like I said, I read and I follow different people that I respect how they do business. And I started to learn how to build in structure. And there's a book that I read, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families. And my husband is a huge advocate of it. He introduced me to the series. And we would sit down and we would do the books together and we started implementing family meetings. And when we did our family meetings, we developed the mission statement and we started doing all these things to really make it about like our family is our first business, in a way of speaking, our first ministry, everything, right? And what we found was by setting up this structure of like a business, running our family meetings like a business, we were teaching our kids how to communicate, how to build agendas, how to do all these things. And they started to tell us what they needed. They started to be honest with us and communicate with us, like, this is how I feel. This is one of the most, I would say, pivotal moments in our family meetings was when one of my daughters said, I don't feel connected to everybody in this family. And she talked about her relationship with one of her siblings, another one of her siblings, myself, my husband, and each and every one of us. And it was like, wow, we ended up doing this exercise where all of us got to talk about like how our relationship is with each person in the family. And it changed the way we all started communicating with each other. Like we really had to stop and look at, okay, mommy's running, running all the time. And even though mommy's running, running, the way she her message is, you're not important to me. And so, how do I change my action from showing you that? Because your actions always speak louder than your words. And so, I had to slow it down and I had to focus. And then I implemented some strategies. For example, if it's an emergency, call me. If it's not an emergency, text me. I'm probably in a meeting, I'm probably doing something, and I don't want you to feel like I'm not paying you any attention. But if you call me at random and it's not an emergency, I'm going to hurry up and get off the phone with you. That's going to make you feel like you're not important to me. But if you text me, I can say to you, I'm available in 15 minutes, call me right back, or I'll call you right back. And so that started to work much better with communicating with my children. And then what happened was this moment where they realized they could be honest and tell us what was going on. So having teenagers that want to be honest with you is so important. And we basically said to them, look, I would rather you tell me the truth, and you will not get in trouble if you tell me the truth. But if you lie to me, you are in trouble. You are in punishment. You're losing all your privileges, your cell phone, whatever. And that was, you know, having these constant communications with them and having this wonderful relationship really led us to a place where we're not friends by any stretch of the imagination. They still understand I'm mom and they're the child, or dad and they're the child. But what it did was it allowed them to feel like they have a voice and that they can be heard. And so we would hear so many things. Some things I'd be like, oh my God, I don't want to know this, but I'm glad they're telling me this because now I can give them a better way to handle it. And so it helped them to eliminate getting engaged in some very difficult at-risk behavior because they were honest and saying, like, mom, this is happening. Like, my friends are at this party and they're starting to do stuff that I don't feel comfortable with. Can you come pick me up? And I'm like, yeah, no problem, no questions. I go and I pick them up and they're home and they're safe. But had I not had that rapport with them, they might not have felt comfortable to be honest with me and say, Ma, I'm at a party I shouldn't, probably shouldn't have came to, but I did. And this is what's happening. And then they don't get in trouble for it because they were honest. And then they've made better choices because of it, which I thought it would be the opposite. I thought they would do more bad stuff because they would be honest and not get in trouble. But they actually did the opposite. They've been more accountable and they've been more honest with us. And so it does matter. And then I would say the last piece of it is engage your children in what you do. So yeah, I talk about how we had family meetings structure like a business, but I also hired my kids in my business. My husband hired them into his business. They work with me in my nonprofit. They've helped me with my political campaigns. Like anything that I'm engaged in, my kids are a part of it. And if people don't want my kids to be a part, then I'm not going to be a part. It's a whole package. We all come together and they will sit in meetings sometimes and they will be there doing what they do, doing their homework or whatever, but we're a package. And if this is an environment where my kids are not welcome, I won't be here either, you know? And so I teach them. And because of that, they literally have first name basis with the mayor, with senators, with legislators, and all of that. And they're just like not afraid to advocate and speak and be who they are because I've invited them into the space. I don't have my worlds as separate. This is me and this is y'all. This is our world. We all live in it. Y'all own it just like I do. Y'all walk in a space just like I do. And y'all learn how to navigate because one day you're going to be doing this. You may not do exactly what I'm doing this, but you need to know how to be a boss wherever you are. And it starts with me training you now and teaching you now as a young person so that you can walk in that. And I could go on about that a little bit longer, but I want to be mindful of the time and just say that I already have seen them utilize these different tools. One of them, she became the class president. And if you would have saw her campaign when she was running that class presidency campaign, it was phenomenal. She had like 50 people in her video. If Patience is running, Patience wanted a teacher, I'm a teacher. Patience got locks, I got locks. Like it was so beautiful. And she won by a landslide. You know, my son's doing public speaking now. He's been invited to speak in Boston and different places, paid public speaking, might I add. And he's just about to turn 16 years old. And so they're just an example of how when you bring your kids to be a part of your world and don't separate them, the relationship, the rapport, the ability to communicate, the ability for them to feel comfortable that they can be who they are in your space and you hone their talents and their gifts, not what you want them to be. Those are the things that make a difference in your ability to raise strong teenagers. And again, all of that doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble. But what it does mean is when you have the trouble, it's a lot easier for you to endure and a lot easier for you all to get through together.
Oh, that's incredible. That's just amazing. You just reminded me, and it's actually inspired me. I obviously my children are quite young, very young, but you had the same kind of gap. So I can imagine that you went through what I'm going through right now, which I actually love and adore. But you reminded me that what I'm pouring into my children is going to obviously be a testament to what they do later on. And in fact, my daughter Eliana, she's 8. She has just written her first children's book called Super 8. So I know for a fact that you are doing something. I know that would have been just a dream for her, but because I've got the skills in my business to go, no, you can create this if you want to. No, we can get it marketed. You can make things, and I'm so it's so you can get so much pride. So I'm sure your son, 16 years old, only 16, speaking on stages, big stages, paid stages, is incredible. But that's a testimony to you. It's a testament to what you've been doing. It's
Thank
amazing.
you.
So continue to do what you're doing. Now, if we talked about your past, and we've definitely talked about your present and the things that you've been getting involved in, including your exciting book, which I want the signed copy. But I really want to talk about also your future. So I want to just do this a little bit differently in the sense that if you were to write yourself a letter in, say, 5 years from now, what would you say to yourself?
That's a good question. In 5 years, what would I say to myself? First of all, I would say, congratulations, you did it. Girl, you did it. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of the way that you continue to be a loving wife and supportive to your husband and his ministry and his dreams. I am so happy for you, the way that you support your children and the way that they have grown up to just be phenomenal men and women in this society, giving back to the society, how you have continued to put God first in all that you do, understanding that it's not about your own growth and development, but how do you continue to pour into and support those around you? Because when you strengthen your community, you're strengthening your village, and when you strengthen your village, it leads to a strengthened nation. And I just am so thankful that you have embraced that, and through all the good and the bad, you have endured, and here you are successful. You just keep doing what you're doing, girl, because you have not seen the great things that God has in store for you.
I love everything you said, and I am so excited to be able just to share this outwards. But I want everyone to come and follow you. Definitely grab that book. You know, that book is going to change. I can feel it's going to change. It's going to be changing lives and changing what people do. Where can we find you?
So easiest place to find me is on my website, monroenaylor.com. So that's WMONROENAYLOR.com. And also on social media, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. I'm on all three of those pretty consistently. I'm starting to build a following on YouTube. And at some point I'll be on TikTok, but for right now, I'm not there yet. And so I would say find me there on social media. I do live streams every week. And I also have training and webinars and just all kinds of things that I have in store for you in 2024.
So amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. So down below, I'm going to be sharing where you can find all the resources, her LinkedIn, her Instagram, the book that I mentioned. And I want to, because we've gone into a new year, what I also want to do is give everyone a little free gift, which is power up your words. It's, you know, power, it's called your power goals, which is all about focusing on the power word that you need for the year and being able to use it in the most effective way to set goals that actually work, which are smart, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. And I'm going to give you that as a free gift, and it's going to have everything you need to have a powerful and impactful year. So just down below with all these other resources, grab that freebie too. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for joining. Don't forget to share, subscribe. There's another successful woman of color that needs to hear this message today. It's going to enlighten them. So do share this on. And don't forget to subscribe and put your notifications on as well. And I'm excited for a new episode. Thank you so much for coming along.